Hello, Pamela.
Hi, Kimberly. How are you? Look at
I'm
us.
good.
We are cat-eye twins.
I see that.
Hi.
How
How are you?
are you?
I'm good.
I'm so glad to see you.
You did your thing. You did it.
Well, we're gonna do some more today.
Yep, you got me. You got
Oh,
me good. But
good.
it's good. It's good. Not it was a good made me think some things through and really take ownership of making some solid decisions. So
Awesome.
I think the bigger part for me now is going to be making sure I, with everything going on, you can kind of shift priorities. So
Own
I
that,
have to make
please.
sure that I keep every remember why I made the decision and stick to making sure that I stay aligned with that.
Okay, that's actually a really good topic. So let's talk about that topic, okay?
Yep.
Where did you so where did you put it?
I don't know. I found one though. Yep, so
Okay. Yes, so that is a topic because yes, when in the excitement and thrill of taking the first action, we're all motivated, right? And then all of a sudden, life starts to throw us those curveballs. They're not even really curveballs. They're the things that stood between us and taking action initially. And so in those moments when our mind wants to pull us back to the old behaviors, or it wants to say to us, you know what? Maybe this one, you're kind of busy at how.
That's gonna be if, as you put it, how the mind takes you down that path and you start checking out, that's that piece. And that
Okay.
all goes together, right? Because when you said sometimes you'll want to make a decision, and then after you've said the yes, when that time starts to settle in, you start stepping away from it. And that's the piece I'm gonna have to make sure that, I really do a better job of saying, wait a minute, you gave a yes, you chose yourself, and how do you put everything in alignment with
Right. So that
that?
is like the core question. So first thing that I would say is the daily success list. We talk about that. So every day, at the end of every day, ask yourself, how did I put myself first? Like what actions did I take that were in alignment with that decision? You're on mute. I don't know if you intend to be on mute.
So you know why I'm on mute? Because I have my son had a half a day today. He's seven. And so I'm trying to make sure that I kind of manage the noise because he, so that's why I put myself on mute because I didn't want to
Okay, no worries. I just didn't know if you had intended
yeah, but I
that,
didn't want him to be a distraction. But I wrote that down. How did I put myself on the list today? And then the daily, so a daily success list.
Right. So every day, at the end of every day, you write down at least, I always say at least four.
Okay.
Okay, at least four things that were successes for the day, that count as successes for the day.
Okay.
They can be big or small. Sometimes not doing a thing is a success,
Okay.
right? Thinking about it and not doing it.
Okay.
Okay, so it's important to acknowledge that as well as the actions you take, because not doing something is also an action.
Okay.
So when you say to yourself, I want to do this, and then you say, no, I'm not going to do that, that's huge.
Okay.
And you want to start acknowledging this. Now, the reason we do these daily success lists is for a couple of reasons. One is to keep front and center what we're intending to do. So we start to train our mind that we're going to be looking for these successes at the end of every day. And so that creates the expectation in our mind for those of us who are accomplished.
Okay.
We never not want to have something to write down, right?
That's true.
Right.
That's true.
That's right. So it hooks into that part of us that likes to accomplish things.
Okay.
Okay. But what it also does is it starts to program our mind to remember the progress that we make.
Okay.
Okay, because there's a way in which, especially when we're busy, we forget what happened yesterday. We forget what happened an hour ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so when that happens, we are basically starting from zero all the time.
Okay.
Right? And that's really tough because it takes a lot of energy to start from zero.
That's true.
Right? That's true. Like yep. The most energy because we're starting to build momentum. Okay. So if our mind doesn't remember that we're already in motion, then it's going to utilize way more energy than it needs to.
Okay.
And that's going to be exhausting.
And then you start to become defeated.
Exactly. That's right, because you think nothing's happening.
Yeah, you feel like I signed up for this. And for me, it would be like, this is another thing you failed.
This is
another thing that you signed up for and you didn't follow all the way through. You didn't keep your commitment to yourself. The self-sabotage.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you do. This is what you know what I mean? So it's
right.
So balancing those pieces for myself that are going to be critical to making sure that I make this worth it. And you can say, I'm looking for my headphones. Okay. You can say, oh, but you spent the money, but I've done that. I can Weight Watchers did that before. You know, it's all those things where it's like, I know I can spend money and then not know where it went.
Okay, now Weight Watchers is a little bit different. Okay, we just gonna set Weight Watchers into its own category. And I only say that because, you know, I spent lots of time in Weight Watchers, okay?
So you understand what I'm saying.
Right, spending money on Weight Watchers. And by the way, Weight Watchers' whole business model is for you to keep coming back. You have to understand that, right?
That's true.
Right, so that's their business model. But, you know, one thing that I want to say to you on this, okay, because I hear that there's a lot of conversation in your head mm-hmm. about what you don't do.
True.
Right? And there's somebody in you inside you telling you that you're going to fail.
Hmm.
And she has said that right up front. She's already told you, you're failing. This is going to fail. She's said this to you and she says it to you.
Mm.
So we have to give her a name so that she is not you.
Okay.
Okay. I always call these the committee members. That's what we call them in coaching, the committee members. Okay. Those are the folks that are weighing in. Well, the hello, committee. Mister.
He can't hear you. Say hello. You can wave. Mommy's in a meeting, so can you just give me some time? Okay, love. Thank you. They had half the days for conferences. So the committee members.
The committee members are weighing in.
They are. They are.
Yeah.
They really are.
Mm-hmm. The committee members are weighing in. Mm-hmm. And so part of understanding how to work with ourselves, and Kimberly, what we're really talking about is like how to coach ourselves through these moments. And I was actually just sitting here writing about like the importance of coaching, learning how to coach ourselves.
Okay.
Okay. Is understanding what is us and what is not us in the voices in our head.
Okay.
Because when there is a distinction, just like you and I are having a conversation, we get to have a conversation.
Or, I see what you're saying.
Right? And you have the complete and total freedom not to listen to a word I say.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
Or believe it. So there's a way in which when we have these voices in our heads, we believe everything they say. And that is not true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the voices in our head will lie in a minute.
That's true.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They will take us down a path in a minute. So mm-hmm. we have to understand how to distinguish between what is our core voice, our true voice, and the committee member voice.
That's true.
Okay.
That's true. So I see that cartoon You see, I got a 7-year-old. The Inside Out.
Yes.
With all of the emotions sitting at the tank. Yes. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So they're all sitting here in this space. That's my visual.
I love that.
They're weighing in on where this should go.
Right.
That's what I see.
And the poor girl's like.
Yes.
Right. Yes.
The emotional roller coaster.
The emotional roller coaster. That's right. Mm-hmm. And those are the emotions that, you know, are like trying to navigate all this. But I think that there's also something that's not really represented in that, because she is a young girl.
True.
And when we're young, we don't have our prefrontal cortex.
Okay.
And the prefrontal cortex is the executive decision-making part of us. It's our higher self. It's the part of you that signed up for this, because that part of you heard, this is something that can really help me. Or if we're going to talk about it on the layer of spirit, like that's our higher spirit, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that takes time to come online as we develop as humans. You know, our prefrontal cortex doesn't fully develop until we're 25.
Okay.
That's biologically when it becomes an adult. And then it takes a lifetime for it to gain wisdom, right?
True. Okay. Very true.
Yes, that's right. So what that movie doesn't represent or doesn't display is the prefrontal cortex that now has agency over all of those emotions.
Mm. Mm-hmm. I like how you said that. Agency over it all.
Yeah, it's agency.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. And so that's what we have to remember, is that we have agency over this.
Mm-hmm.
And we can exercise that agency, but it takes practice.
Okay.
It's a practice. It's not a one and done. This is not the medical model, okay, where you go in for surgery, they cut it out, you heal, and whoo, I'm off.
Yes.
It's not the medical model. This is the athletic model.
Okay,
the athletic model means that you will always need to practice. There mm-hmm. will always be new levels of growth. You will get to the point where you are winning, but you will never win 100% of those games, right? So there will be those days where you listen to those voices. But that doesn't mean that the next time you can't go out and win the game. Like, let's look at Serena, right? Serena never not, she's elite, but she still practices.
That's true. Trains,
does what
prepares,
she needs to do,
prepares. Yep.
Like, that doesn't stop. So if we understand, and that's what allows her to continue to reach new levels.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So if we understand mm-hmm. that as the model for creation, right, that's the model for creation, then it changes our expectation about what is required to create what we want in our lives.
Mm-hmm. This model sounds like you have to learn.
Own this, please. Right. You're going to hear me say, because the way in which we flip into that third person impersonal, like we're talking about.
And I'm good at that, right?
I'm talking about somebody else. Somebody else over there.
I have to learn how to be more gentle with myself.
Yes.
I can be gentle with others. You know, like this makes sense to me if I'm talking to somebody else, but I will often take the lane of you should be done with this by now. You should have overcome this by now. This should not still be, you know, it's when you put it in an athletic framework.
Mm-hmm.
I have a son that plays basketball, right? So, mm-hmm. I hear myself saying to him, you know, you should expect and already know how to make that move mm-hmm. on the court. So mm-hmm. in my mind, I will often say to myself, you know, by now you should have overcome it. And so mm-hmm. I have to, it's shifting into that space of recognizing one, and you said this initially to me, that this is an ongoing journey, that this is not, to your point just a few minutes ago, the medical model. And I think I'm stuck in it's a medical model, and then it's trying to be the perfectionist in it all at the same time.
Right.
If it's not perfect, it's not successful.
Right. That's right. Well, and, you know, I don't know if you've ever read any Carol Dweck. Okay, so she has, she's a psychologist, I think, and a researcher, and she talks about the growth mindset versus the fixed mindset. Mm. And that is an orientation towards learning. And the fixed mindset tells you that you should already know.
Is that new book, Mindset Shift?
Oh, I haven't even heard of this book. There's a new book called Mindset Shift.
A book called Mindset. And I was listening to it on, now you're gonna make me look it up, on Audible, because she talks about the successful people having Carol Dweck. It's called Mindset.
Okay.
Mindset, the new psychology of success, how we learn to fulfill our potential.
That's right. That's exactly right. So
that's what that sounds.
Yeah, it's Carol Dweck. Yes, exactly. Very important. I'm glad to hear you're listening to Carol Dweck. This is crucial. So as you're listening to this, it's really important to kind of absorb this, take this in, because that part of you is going to want to say, well, I didn't do it right the first time. So therefore, but there is no right.
Got it.
It's not possible to do it right the first time. It's just not. What did you do right the first time apart from breathe?
Probably nothing.
Nothing. I mean, you have children, so you know that, okay, they know how, like the systems that we don't control, breathing, our heart, opening our eyes, sleeping, those are the things that our body just runs for us. But everything else we learned.
That's true.
We don't come out of the womb even knowing how to eat. We have to teach how to breastfeed or bottle feed.
That's
true. We don't even know how to eat.
That is so true.
So if we don't know, if we have to be taught something as fundamental as how to eat, why do we expect that we should go into anything already knowing?
That's good. That was big. That was big. That's really big.
Right.
Right.
We're not gonna know. Mm-mm. And as evidenced by, and this is not a slam, because I'm gonna tell you right now, I struggle. You know, I lost 100 pounds and I've kept it off in December, 10 years, okay?
Wow.
I spent a lot of time cycling through Weight Watchers, all the other stuff, okay? And so even learning how to lose and maintain is something that is a process and a journey.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you. But again, I went through a lot of failure, but not really failure. Because what you'll learn in Carol Dweck is that that's all learning. Everything that doesn't work out, you get really valuable information if you don't consider it a failure.
You have to shift it.
Own that, please. Who has to shift that?
Kimberly has to shift it.
Not just Kimberly, because we're not talking about Kimberly in
third
person.
I have to shift my thinking and I want to say, I'm trying to think of how I want to word this. I have to shift my thinking and accept that I am a forever learner.
Yes. Well, you and everybody
I'm always
else.
Learning.
You and
but
everybody-
I have to do it, as you said, I got to own it because I, and I don't know what the, I think it comes from somewhere, but meaning my, I'm the oldest. So that birth order stuff, I take the lead on a lot. Mm-hmm. And so there's this thinking in my head that some stuff I'm just supposed to know. And I have to be okay with understanding. Like you said, I've never been 45 before. So there's going to be some things that I'm going to learn that I couldn't learn at 35. I can only learn them, right, as I'm continuing to grow at 45. Because my 35-year-old mind probably wasn't even ready to learn.
Wasn't ready. It was not ready. Trust me.
Right.
That's right.
So that's why I'm saying, that's why I'm, right.
You know, we don't arrive in any moment knowing what we're supposed to know. Well, you know, again, if we really look at it from like just an objective viewpoint, not through the emotional lens, right? Not through the little girl inside that's saying, oh, yeah, you're not doing this right, you know? But if we look at it objectively, we don't arrive at anything knowing how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
We really don't.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we get lucky and we try something and there's like a constellation of talents. And so it works. And so what happens then is that our mind tells us, oh, well, I knew how to do that. No, we just got lucky.
That's true.
And if we went deeper into it, if we really wanted to master it, we would absolutely have to learn. So there are all those people that you see in the world that have natural talent and stuff, but they actually don't really progress because they're so afraid of not knowing that it actually stunts their growth. So they're not actually able to maximize what they've been given because they're too afraid to not know.
That is what holds me back.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What you just explained mm-hmm. is clearly what keeps me in the same spot.
Mm-hmm. So for you, rather than have to, yeah. should, all the heaviness, how about you give yourself permission? You grant yourself the freedom not to know. You know, it is liberating. It's freedom, right? It's freedom. How do you feel when I say, you know what? You don't have to know. How does it feel inside?
It feels light. Like it feels like something is doing this.
Uh-huh.
Grant myself the freedom not to know. And it makes me feel like it is okay if I make a mistake.
Yes. And in fact, it's good to make a mistake. Now, what if we flip that around and say it's good to make a mistake? How is it good to make a mistake?
Because that's where you learn. That's how I learn.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me give you a coaching request here. All right, I want you to look at the biggest mistakes in your life and pull out the valuable lessons that you learn from those mistakes. So let's do one right now.
Okay.
What's a big mistake?
So the biggest mistake that I, one of the biggest that stands out that I laugh at now, I decided that I wanted to buy this brand new car because in my mind, it was the one thing that I was always held back from doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like it was something that my dad always said it was not a good thing. So I was like, I'm going to prove that I'm going to buy this brand new car. And technically, economically, he was right, but I could not see it because I, in my mind at the time, I was in my late 20s, I just kept processing it as not being able to have what I wanted, mm-hmm. when I wanted, mm-hmm. and how I wanted it. And then later down the road, when I was working through the financials of that brand new car, it was like, oh, now I see. Now I get it. Mm-hmm. Now I won't do that again. Mm-hmm. That's really what happens.
That's right. Okay. So that's awesome. So let's say, so what was the lesson out of that? What would you say the lesson was?
The lesson for me was look at better ways to spend my money, especially on vehicles. Understanding that the goal is transportation. It doesn't have to be crispy new to still be a great car and be financially sound.
Okay. So that sounds like something that your dad probably said to you, and you're probably like, he was right.
He was right.
I know he was right on the intellectual level, but I'm saying to you that what you just said is what he said to you.
Okay.
Okay. And now you say, okay, he's right.
Mm-hmm.
So that's right and wrong again. We're back at right and wrong.
And that's my brain, black and white.
That's right.
Right and wrong. That's what my head is wired like.
Exactly.
You're right.
That's right. So really where we want to get to are some deeper lessons in this. So why did you do that? Why'd you do that?
I did it because I wanted a brand new toy, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted. Mm-hmm. I didn't want anybody's hand-me-down. Mm-hmm. I wanted a brand new, modern, crispy toy. That's what I wanted.
All right. And you got it.
With all the bells and whistles.
And you got it.
And that's, I wanted it because I felt like I work hard. Mm-hmm. I'm responsible and I should be able to drive this car and I'll be cute in it. That was the other thing.
All right. Hey, and that's important. It is. Cuteness is important. Now, let me ask you, are any of those things wrong?
They're not wrong.
Okay.
I don't think they're wrong. I think that they were perfectly fine. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how I'm built.
Right, that's right, exactly.
That's how I'm built.
That's what I like. That's what
you're
right. Exactly. So this is what's really important to understand is that you're about to say my father was right, but in that you're about to deny a really important essence of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So really what you're saying to yourself is I shouldn't be who I am.
Mm-hmm. And everybody else's essence of me is supposed to stand out first.
Right. Well, or what they think you should be, because only you know your essence.
True.
Right? Nobody else knows.
But when you deny it enough, you don't know it. When I deny it enough, then I don't own it, then I don't know it, and then going back to our first conversation, I don't trust myself. Mm-hmm. Because I don't let my essence be in the front.
Right.
Going back to the agency conversation.
Exactly. Exactly. That's exactly it. So here's the thing with agency. Part of agency is understanding who we are and allowing ourselves to be who we are. And then also working with ourselves because we have to know when our prefrontal cortex is online and when it isn't, right? So we have to be able to have the conversation. So what I would say at your 29-year-old self is that you took your prefrontal cortex offline, right? So it couldn't have the full conversation with you. Your spirit couldn't have the full conversation because the minute we cut ourselves off from our essence, we are not having a full conversation. And then we're going to act out. Just like a little kid will act out. Just like you really were acting out against your father when you bought that.
That's true. At first. Mm-hmm.
At first, right. At first. Until you... Here's the thing, though.
Excuse me. Mm-hmm.
So what would life be like if you allowed yourself to say, I want my crispy new stuff that feels cute?
I would be happy. What I have to get over is what other people might think.
That's right.
That's the piece I have to overcome.
That's right.
It's settling into, they may not like it, but that's okay.
That's right. And guess what, Kimberly? That is a practice. Oh, that's a practice. You have to practice it. But if you don't take the action, the conscious action, then you never get the practice. And what happens if you don't practice?
You don't get better.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you're stuck. And eventually your muscles atrophy. And then you can't even move.
True.
So this practice.
Excuse me.
So what if you made 2020 about allowing you to be you, like living from spirit? What if 2020 were about living from spirit for you? What would that look like?
That's a good question.
Good.
Yeah, that's a good question. And I don't know if I have an immediate answer.
That's good. I'm glad you don't, because it's one that requires some thought.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Okay, so I want you in second coaching request is to think about that, and then I want you to post in your coaching thread what you come up with.
Okay. That's a good question.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So my first coaching request is looking at my big mistakes and what were the values.
Mm-hmm.
And now this one is to think about what living from spirit would look like for me.
In 2020, you said in 2020, I'm going to live from spirit. What would it look like? What would be happening that year?
Mm-hmm. Okay, I wrote it down because that's a big question.
That's a very big question.
That's a very big question.
Right. So I want to circle back to what you learned from the mistakes. I want to take that one level deeper. Okay. So what I want to reflect back to you is that it wasn't just that you learned, okay, financially this made sense, blah, blah, blah. Really, first of all, you learned who you really are. And you learned what happens when you don't give that part of yourself a seat at the table.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
That's mm-hmm. way more valuable knowledge.
That's deep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See, really what we're talking about, Kimberly, is wisdom. Right? Really, where we're headed is being willing to become wise.
Okay.
And in order to become wise, we have to let go of knowledge.
But that goes back to what you said to me before, which is living from spirit. It's disconnecting from the intellect of things,
which is knowledge. Which is being right. In the intellect, there is right and wrong.
Right.
In spirit, there is no right and wrong. There is only wisdom.
That's good. Mm-hmm. I'm loving the fan, Pamela.
Oh, thank you. All of a sudden, you know, when the energy starts going up, I got to pull out.
I understand.
The
I understand.
Oh my God.
Oh no. But I'm loving it. You're not the first woman I've seen doing it. I'm like, okay, they're doing it in a cute way. They don't start doing all this. They have their pretty little fans.
Well, you know, it's funny because I said, I never understood when I was young, when you were in church and you saw all the church ladies with their fans. I didn't know. I was like, I just thought, because maybe the church wasn't air conditioned, but I didn't realize they were having their own personal summers. It's only a certain subset of those church ladies that had them fans. Now that's right. I understand. I was like, ooh, I need my fan. I need my fan.
It's cute. So it's interesting that the first session you had with me is building right back to what my focus has to be. Mm-hmm. Which for me, coming from a spiritual place, mm-hmm. is what my prayers need to align with.
Okay, so I hear a lot of have to, need, this is all requirement. You operate completely from a position of requirement, not choice.
I never saw it that way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. So as you enter the eve of your 45th birthday, how about you start living from choice?
Hmm. Mm-hmm. Choice and spirit. And not knowing.
Yeah, not well.
Okay,
yes.
Not yeah. knowing.
Okay, not knowing. Okay, not knowing, choice and spirit. Now, mm-hmm. that is a really powerful combination. How does life change when you move into that space?
Mm-hmm. I believe it will free me.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that the pressure mm-hmm. will not be as tense.
That's right.
You know, the pressure of getting it right, the pressure of knowing, the pressure, mm-hmm. you know, of the right or the wrong. Mm-hmm. So I feel it will be a more liberating way to live.
Yes.
And as I learn how to live in that liberated space, I think it'll impact those around me.
Absolutely, it will.
Mm-hmm. 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 That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. So what's going through your head?
Well, three things, right?
Okay.
So I see this, and I tend to look at things in their connectedness. And mm-hmm. so living from choice anchors me in knowing that I'm created by God. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't build myself. Mm-hmm. God created me this way. And okay, not knowing connects me to why Jesus died. Like, he knew mm-hmm. I wasn't going to know. He already knew that. So mm-hmm. the fact that Jesus died was kind of like his way of saying, I got you. I got that covered.
Right.
You're going to make mistakes. Mm-hmm. You're going to do things wrong. That's going to happen. That's why I came, right? And so then when I see the spirit piece, mm-hmm. it's resonating with me, like, that's why I gave you spirit. Mm-hmm. But instead of leaning on spirit, you continue to make it about you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I saw. Okay. That's what I am seeing in this.
Right. So you're really seeing basically the framework for freedom.
Exactly.
Right.
True freedom.
True freedom. Right. Exactly. True freedom. No. I mean, when we say freedom, freedom is very like you are either free or not, right?
Right.
And we
right.
also understand that freedom is not necessarily, it's not a physical thing.
Right.
It's a spiritual
thing. It's a mind thing.
It starts in the mind. It's a mind thing. As Nelson Mandela demonstrated. That you could physically be in prison and mentally, right? So we have to understand that prison sits in the mind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, Viktor Frankl you know, in the Holocaust, man's search for meaning. Our minds are always our own.
That's true.
And when we surrender over to the committee, we're really giving a lot of the power away.
That's right.
When we all allow those committee members to weigh in heavier than, right, the mm-hmm. spirit mm-hmm. or the agency of being able to own and take and allow the executive to really execute.
Right.
That's when we shift back into that other space.
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. So let's go back to giving your committee members a name. I like to do that in my one-on-one coaching because it's easier for our brains to understand if there's a person that represents that committee that they always send in to have the conversation with you. So it's not like all five of them are sitting there, okay? One of them has been designated. She has gotten all the information from everybody and has been sent in as a representative to have the conversation with you.
It's funny because as you were talking, I don't even know where this is coming from, but I feel like it's LaQuisha. And okay. I don't even know a dang okay. on LaQuisha. I'm like, where is LaQuisha coming from?
Okay, LaQuisha it is. LaQuisha. It is. LaQuisha, they have sent LaQuisha in. And LaQuisha is like, girl, you know that's
LaQuisha is trying to weigh in very heavily.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. LaQuisha's trying to weigh in. LaQuisha's trying to tell you you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, girl, you know what?
LaQuisha's like, yeah, you done this before. Mm-hmm. You're going to be on a short little time frame and then you're going to be right back where you started. That's what LaQuisha says.
Right. Now think about you're sitting across the table from LaQuisha. Think about she's a friend who's literally sitting across the table from you. What would you say?
I would want to tell LaQuisha to hush.
Okay. Then that's exactly what you do. Like you would also mm-hmm. realize that you had a choice whether or not you listened to LaQuisha.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And don't tell me what I'm gonna do.
Right. Because how does LaQuisha know?
You don't have that kind of power.
That's right.
And I would also let LaQuisha know.
Uh-oh. LaQuisha about to get told.
I would let LaQuisha know that not getting it perfect does not mean I'm not progressing.
Exactly.
So you don't get to define the success of this process.
That's right.
That's what I would need LaQuisha to know.
Okay. No, that's what you would need to tell LaQuisha.
That's what I need to tell LaQuisha back.
Right. LaQuisha doesn't need to know. You need to know.
Mm-hmm. But I need to articulate that to LaQuisha.
Exactly. Look, LaQuisha.
This is so funny. Look, LaQuisha, you better just hush.
You better hush.
And I didn't really ask LaQuisha for her vote. Thank you. But,
that's right. That's right.
You know.
That's right.
The same way I didn't really give my husband a voice at this conversation. Uh-huh. Intentionally. Because I felt like I may have been met with a resistance that I did not want to have to fight.
That's right.
That's really what it was about. So I really sat in this and said, are you going to do it? Are you ready? And then it was like, I don't know if I'm ready, right? So I can't swim. Don't know if I'm ready, but I will put on a bathing suit. Uh-huh. I will sign up for the lessons. I'll walk in the water and I'll take it one step at a time.
That's
really what made me jump.
That's right. That's right. And that's all it is. How did Serena become the best tennis player in the world? That first day, she put on her tennis outfit, she put a racket in her hand, she walked to the court and looked at the coach and said, okay, what do I do?
Mm-hmm. And I think for me, I want to live.
Right.
So I feel like I've been in a cruise control mode. Mm-hmm. Somebody asked me on my thread, what did that mean? Mm-hmm. And for me, what that means is I do the things that I have to do, that I know to do, that my own language, that are right to do, And I'm just in the cruise control of life.
Right.
Do what you got to do, what's right to do, what you know to do. Just stay right there. Mm-hmm. Never really shift into drive and take the control.
Mm-hmm. Up until now.
So that's what that cruise control thing is.
Right.
I kind of sit back and let everything around me orchestrate the road. Mm-hmm. And I'm just kind of there. I'm behind the wheel. I look like I'm doing it, but my feet are never touching the pedal.
Wow. So there you go.
And that's where I feel like I've been, especially the last 10 years of my life.
Mm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so now you know what that life is like.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to create something new, you have to know what that life is like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things that I put on this how to create opportunity is there is value. There's value in doing things that make you miserable for a while.
Okay.
For a while. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And the value of it is that we need contrast. You needed mm-hmm. to know what it felt like to do that.
Mm.
So that you could make the choice that that is not how you want to feel.
Mm-hmm.
And so mm-hmm. again, back we're actually back at the value of making mistakes. Like the value of going in, trying something and it not working out. We have to understand what that feels like, because when we are presented with the choice once again, as we will be.
Yes.
We have something to draw on to say, is this what I want in this moment?
Mm-hmm.
Now I know all the downstream stuff that comes from this. Do I want
mm-hmm.
this?
Mm-hmm. 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 That's true.
Mm-hmm.
That's very true. Mm-hmm. This is a big question, though.
What's that?
Living from spirit. What does 2020 look like if I'm living from spirit?
Yep.
So I struggle with that.
Yes. And?
And I think that's okay.
Exactly.
It's okay. That is a struggle. I may have to unpack it a little bit at a time.
Yes, exactly. What is that? So we're going back full circle. It's okay not to know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And to let it unfold, just follow the journey and see what comes up.
Mm-hmm.
See, what happens when we do this, Kimberly, is that we are relying on ourselves to recognize and evaluate along the way, as opposed to relying on ourselves to know. So that's where, you know, in this shift, and it is like a very like crucial shift when we start to live from spirit, and we're no longer living from the intellectual, only the intellectual, because the point of the intellectual and the relationship between the intellectual and the spirit is that the spirit is what tells us, you know, what's in our heart, you know, what we're called for, like how we're built. And the intellect is there to create that, to answer that in a way that's healthy within the structure of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So they're really meant to be a partnership. But the problem is that the intellect doesn't like being of service to the spirit. The intellect is the one that wants to be in the driver's seat, controlling everything, and wants to
dominate.
Exactly, wants spirit in the back seat. So that's what oftentimes happens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Instead of understanding that, because here's the thing, things of spirit never make 100% sense to intellect. That's why you actually don't want to tell your husband about this. That's why you don't really want to admit to people like what you need, because they never make sense things of spirit don't make sense to the intellect.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody will really understand that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be okay with it, not people not understanding.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be okay with our own intellect not understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We have to get like, okay, I don't know why, but that's how I feel. And that's okay, because I know mm-hmm. I'm going to live from spirit. So if this is how I'm feeling, I'm going to follow it. And I will trust that it will make sense as I continue to follow it.
Yes.
To the intellect. And
mm-hmm.
it inevitably does, but there's a lot of firewalking that has to happen before we get to mm-hmm. that spot.
And there are a lot of LaQuisha conversations that have to happen.
Exactly. Because LaQuisha is following you.
LaQuisha is, she's the banter in the crowd. To go back to Serena, she's on the sideline like, you know, y'all don't play tennis. Y'all don't know what y'all doing.
That's right. That's right.
Who are you to think you can play this game? This is not our game.
That's right. Right? That's right. But LaQuisha's on the sidelines. LaQuisha ain't in the game.
Boom. Mm-hmm.
See, that's what you got to remember. And I don't know if you've heard of Brené Brown.
Yes.
Okay. If you've watched her, you know, she has that Netflix special.
I haven't watched it.
It's worth watching. So what she says in there is that she has learned that she is not listening to anybody who is not in the arena.
I've heard that quote. Yep.
Right. So everybody that's on the sideline saying, hey, you don't know, blah, blah, blah. She's like, you are not in the arena. You're not doing in the fight, getting bloodied. You're not out here. I'm not listening to you because all it is opinion. It's not counsel. Right? Folks mm-hmm. standing on the sidelines who ain't been in it, what do they know?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so my thing always that I tell people is to seek counsel, not opinions. Talk to people who have been through it because they will be able to counsel you about the kinds of things you'll face and share their wisdom with you. But if somebody hasn't been through it, don't talk to them because all they're going to do is give you their opinion.
That's good. That was really good. That's big for me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because I take opinions, especially if they're from people that I value, mm-hmm. and give them a ton of weight.
Right. But all they are opinions. They haven't been through it.
That's true. That's very true.
It's mm-hmm. like Serena listening to LaQuisha.
Who ain't ever played tennis in her life.
Exactly.
In my head.
That's right. But she ain't. She ain't played tennis in her life.
I feel like she's that neighbor across the street from Martin.
Uh-huh.
That's horrible, right. But that's what I see her as.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. Ain't done it, but I feel like she can weigh in on it.
Yes. That's who she is.
That's right.
And she's the liar, right? So, you know, she's the liar from the pit of hell.
But she thinks she's telling the truth, right?
Yes.
And that is why it's so compelling. Or even when we're talking to other people who are offering their opinions, but they believe so strongly in them, they think they're telling the truth.
Yes.
Okay, but really what they're doing is they are transmitting their fear to you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because what happens is that when people who have not been through something hear something that is outside of the realm, they become fearful. So then it becomes a conversation of fear.
Mm. And not counsel.
Exactly.
And not counsel.
And not counsel.
It's interesting because years ago, I had one of my boys ended up with a situation, mm-hmm. And had been diagnosed with something. Mm-hmm. And so I remember talking to a teacher friend mom. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those places where we had never had the conversation before, mm-hmm. but I was just led to share it with her. You mm-hmm. ever feel that? Like it was,
yep.
It was really one of those unusual moments. And immediately she was like, I've been there, done that. Mm-hmm. And I had the full visual because this child now is like mm-hmm. brilliant. Like you would never mm-hmm. even have a clue. And so she immediately said to me, I want you to take about 3 to 5 days. She said, just take them. Be mm-hmm. sad, mm-hmm. be upset, be hurt, mm-hmm. let all of that stuff bubble. And she said, and then when you're done, I need you to go in full blast mom mode mm-hmm. and take action. Mm-hmm. And it was the most helpful. It was like, Pamela, I felt like a load lifted, like it's going to be okay, right? I don't know what I'm about to go into.
Right.
Yes, my love, but it's going to be okay.
We can eat our snack.
You can eat your snack now. Thank you. So to hear you say that, I have a real life visual mm-hmm. of where I was not led to get people's opinions. Mm-hmm. But it was really listening to the spirit and calling this person.
That's right.
And we've been friends for a long time, but never had, mm-hmm. I never would have known.
Right. That's right.
But that pushed me in a whole nother direction mm-hmm. than maybe if I had just gone for the opinions.
Right.
Not knowing, because I think that's the other piece. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you're not knowing. You're thinking you're seeking somebody for counsel. I will think I'm gonna get counsel from that person. I'm owning it. I will think.
Yay, love that shit.
I'm going to get counsel. Mm-hmm. And instead of saying, okay, I made a bad decision here, or this may not have been the right person to talk to, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Then I get sucked into the opinion instead of really seeing whether or not mm-hmm. it was from a position of counsel.
Right.
That was good.
Yeah, that's right. And that is what the learning's all about. Because every time you think you're going to get counsel and you don't, and you like start to unpack why that was the case, you will have more knowledge about how to find counsel down the road. Because we can't, like, every game that Serena plays is a different game.
All the time.
It's all the time. So there, like, yes, there are lots of principles, but every game is different. And every game she's gonna learn something that's gonna help her down the road. So if it didn't work out this time, there's use in that.
That's true.
Right? And you need all of that because that's what actually allows you to practice at life's highest levels. So.
I like that. That's a big one for me. Mm-hmm. And I can see the difference. Like some other things are just bubbling up right now.
Yep.
I mean, even being in this space. And not because I know you know her, but just because of who she is, right? Mm-hmm. I'm sitting in the chair. I'm having this conversation about coaching. And she has talked about you, as have I, because I read your article in Simple Magazine. Mm-hmm. So I've been following her friend Pamela for forever. But it was interesting when the conversation came up this time. She came from behind. Okay, we're done. You're going to call Pamela. You're not going to keep going through this. And I'm just like, it's happening. You know, in the past, it would have always been just the, I keep telling you to call Pamela. No, she walked from behind the chair this time and kind of came in my face like, it is time for you. She was like, I can't. You're not going to keep sitting here. It is time for you to make this move. Mm-hmm. And that for me was a counsel moment. It was no longer...
That's right.
Right? It was no longer just a passing,
okay, you need, yeah, can you tell, you know, no, she was very, it was like the wisdom of your mother stood up, right? Her wisdom came forth like, it is time, you got to do it now. And I was like, and it was kind of a shake, like, oh, that was different, but it resonated, right? Because then I went to the website and I followed the steps, you know, like I didn't have any shortcuts. I had to follow the process all the way out.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. And that came from counsel.
That came from counsel.
That came from somebody who walked the path and felt the results and was like, you are in a pain that I know and that I have walked through. And here, follow
this. Here's your help. Do this.
Here's your help. Do this. Just like the woman who said to you, do this for these days and then do this. That's counsel.
That's good. That is like
a lot of ground in this hour.
I know. I need like highlighters. I gotta highlight my notes. That was good.
We did some good work today.
Yes, yes, yes. You pushed me today. I think I might go under the water. Jumped. Now I think I might actually try. Yeah. Put my head under.
That's right. Put your head under for a hot little second.
Right, right.
That's okay. That's all right. That's how it rolls.
Yeah.
That's how it rolls. All right. So, couple of things. All right.
Okay.
So, all right. So we're going to close this out for a moment.